Thanks, Steve. It's good to see all of you assembled here today. We actually represent quite a lot of preparation and travel to get everybody from far and wide all together in this room, so it's nice when it can happen. And hello to those who are peering in through that lens back there. Greetings, includes my wife. She's had a cough today, so she's stayed home. Now, did the earth exist before man? Or was everything created at virtually the same time? I'm pretty sure most of us believe the same thing on this subject, that there was a world before man. You probably understand that there was that indeterminate period of time between in the beginning and when God said, "Let there be light." But I think that is a profound understanding. Most people who do not believe that God is the creator are convinced that they have the facts. The facts are on their side. They're sure, they're very sure, and they're probably right, that the earth is very old. And in their minds, at least judging from the words of the debate that I read, because the earth is old and because life is adaptable, then the theory of evolution stands proved. The fact that the earth is old, they think, means the Bible is therefore untrue. They are right, we are wrong, I see no other alternative. And so the understanding that the Bible refers to a world that existed before man, I think, is profoundly important. Is it really biblical, though? Does the whole Bible agree with that interpretation that most of us believe? I want to do a short summary. I just have the sermonette today. About what the Bible says about the earth before man. You know, we're supposed to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And so I'd like to just summarize the facts of the matter is in the scriptures, in case anyone asks you. We have 4 points, and the first point is the historical growth in understanding. There's been a historical growth in understanding. Some people feel that we are twisting the scriptures to see a gap after Genesis 1, verse 1. They point to the fact that such a gap has not been seen by most people in the history of Judaism or Christianity, and that we're making a concession to the enemies of creation, to the enemies of belief in the Bible. And it is true that the understanding of Genesis 1, our understanding of Genesis 1:1, is not widely held down through history. Dr. Thomas Chalmers was a Scottish minister, one of the first to propose the gap between the first two verses in modern times, and that was in 1814. And up until that time, a few people. UCG booklet on the subject points out that there were people, but not many knew of the ancientness of the earth. But by 1814, the science of geology had begun. People were actually studying geology. Now, I think you can compare this in concept to the study of astronomy, your understanding of astronomy. People in Europe, that is, Jews and Christians, did not realize that the earth revolves around the sun until the beginning of the 1500s. You know, not that the old idea, you know, that the earth was the center of the universe was from the Bible. It's not from the Bible, of course. But neither did the Bible explain how it all worked. But when we as humanity reached the point where we understood how things worked, then we can understand that the Bible wasn't wrong, that we have a new understanding of the Bible says, and we even an appreciation that the Bible was not wrong about the subject. And so it is with the age of the earth. You know, the Bible is not a science textbook. It's not meant to explain all the details. It certainly doesn't tell us much about what happened before mankind, but neither is it wrong. You know, the facts that come to light show that the Bible has never made any silly or ignorant statements like so many other ancient writings do about the facts. The Bible has the facts correct. It's just that we didn't understand them. Humanity as a whole didn't understand them. There are a few people, as I said, the UCG booklet on evolution mentions about 6 different references to that theory, understanding of that theory, but it was not generally understood until science revealed that our old assumptions were wrong. Our assumptions were wrong. But is this what the whole Bible then agrees with? Does the Bible actually say that there is a world before mankind? I'd like to do a little inventory of those things. So the second point is the language of Genesis 1. The language of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word created, and you've heard this before, the word created really does imply the invention of something or the creation of something that hadn't existed before. But this story in Genesis chapter 1 really does distinguish between such kind of a creation and the making of things, which is a different word which is used throughout the rest of the chapter. For example, in verse 7, chapter 1, God made the atmosphere. You know, the word made there is a very common Hebrew word for making. It's not the same as creating. And the difference between the two words is actually very real. There is a contrast between these two words, and it's emphasized. For example, at the end of this section, the end of this first book of Genesis is chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In Genesis 2, 3, it concludes, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And those are the two words. The created was in the first verse. Made is used throughout the rest of the chapter. There are two different things. Originally, the earth, the universe was created, but now in the 6 days, it is reworked or made. And even in the fourth commandment, you know, the fourth commandment in Exodus 20 kind of repeats this idea from Genesis 2, verse 3, where it says, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. The word made there is exactly the same word as in the first chapter of Genesis. He made the earth, heaven and the earth. He didn't create the heaven and the earth in 6 days, but he made them in 6 days, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And so the Sabbath is a memorial of the making, not of the original creation, and they really are different in the Hebrew language. Now, the break between Genesis 1, verse 1's creating and then the making that goes on in the rest of the chapter is not obvious to most people, but it does seem to be there when the facts of science eventually lead us to realize that we need to examine it more closely. And then in verse 2 of chapter 1, continuing on the subject of the language, the Hebrew language here, it's a new and a very different thought. The earth was without form. And you've heard this before, but the word was should be translated became. Became tohu and bohu, and darkness was upon the face of the world of the deep. That is how the word is commonly translated in Hebrew. It's not just our interpretation. For example, in Genesis 2, verse 7, when man became a living soul, that's the same word. He became a living soul. And in 1926, when Lot's wife turned around and looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, she became a pillar of salt. That's the same word. It really should have been translated became. There's every reason to translate it, the earth became without form and void. And it's important to notice that the earth was first created in verse 1, and then it became waste and empty, because there's a very similar statement made in Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 18. You've heard this expounded before, I'm sure, but Isaiah 45, 18 is a passage about God as the creator, being the true creator and not like the idols of the nations. But verse 18, it says, for thus says the Lord that created the heavens. The word is created exactly the same as Genesis 1:1. God himself that formed the earth and made it, which is the other word. He created it and then he made it. He established it. These are exactly the two words used in Genesis 1. Then it says, he created it not in vain. He created it not tohu. He formed it to be inhabited. So it is explicitly saying that the created earth was not tohu. But Genesis 1 verse 2 says it became tohu and bohu. It simply leads to the conclusion that some kind of an event and some kind of a period of time occurred between the creation and the 6 days. It's just that it doesn't give us any details, because that's not what the Bible's about. It's not about that period of time. It's about us as the humanity on this earth. Number three, the flow of the creation story. There are, in the 6 days of the creation, the recreation, there are a couple of things that make better sense if God is reforming the earth and not creating it. In chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, which is the first day, God makes light and day and night. There's an evening and a morning on the first day, and yet it's not until verse 16, which is the fourth day, when he makes the sun and the moon. You've got day and night, light and dark, but you don't have the sun and the moon yet. How can that be? This makes more sense if the sun and the moon already exist before verse 3. But the making of the day and night is some kind of a clarifying event of the darkness around the earth. And then in verse 16, on the fourth day, he makes the sun and the moon visible. Otherwise, the day and night in the first day make little sense if there was no sun created until the fourth day. And then in verses 6 through 10, he separates the atmosphere, the dry land, and the seas. That is not a creative act. God is not making air and water and dirt. He's separating them. It makes more sense if he's reworking an existing planet. So when you take it literally, and I think chapter 1 should be taken literally, it makes sense that it is a reworking of an existing earth. So that's another example of the Bible's view that the earth existed before man. And then fourthly, the angels and the earth. The angels and the earth. The Bible is the story of man. What went on before man is not the object of the book. Certainly it's not in any great detail, as you well know. Otherwise I wouldn't have to say this. But we do see snatches of references to things before man in the Bible. They just appear as if the existence in the world is known, as if the world certainly was there before mankind. For example, Job. It's not just for example, this is probably a central one. Job chapter 38, verse 6 and 7. It's where God is asking Job, who does he think he is? You know, arguing with or reasoning with God, the Creator. And speaking of the earth, God says in Job 38:6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So the context is creation. The earth's foundations are being laid. It seems to be the creation. But all the sons of God shout for joy. Again, no details given, but it is assumed that angels exist, not only exist before man, but they exist at the creation of the earth. And it's simply outside the story of Genesis 1, however. And then in the six-day creation itself, in chapter 3, the serpent suddenly appears. No explanation. Where did he come from? Why is he being deceptive? There certainly has to be some kind of a backstory. But it's assumed that we know there was a story of that something happened before Genesis 1. And so in Job, we have at the foundation of the earth joy of the angels. But by the time of the 6 days, there's opposition. And there's a few snatches elsewhere in the Bible about where that opposition comes from, as you know, of course. In Revelation, I won't turn there for sake of time, but in Revelation 12:9 is a reference. Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Doesn't say when. When did this happen? It appears that it happened to me. Decide for yourself, I guess. It appears that it happened before the six-day creation. In the earth before man. There are Old Testament references to this deception, to this rebellion. Of course, you're familiar with Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, where it says, for example, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That seems to be an angel rebellion. And in Ezekiel 28:15, where it says, among other things, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. These events do not fit anywhere else. They don't fit anywhere in Bible history. But they fit in the earth before man. And there were a couple of New Testament references about an angel opposition. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, Peter wrote, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. And you will notice if you read that passage in 2 Peter 2, that there are a couple of other references to God's judgment in that passage. And they all seem to be chronological order, but this is the first one. So it seems to have occurred before Genesis, because the other two are later on in Genesis. And Jude 6 and 7 also refers to the same rebellion. Those who kept not their first estate is the way Jude says it. So both Peter and Jude relate an event that I think Jesus must have endorsed, because it is referred to by John in Revelation, by Peter and Jude. And it does not fit in the Bible narrative anywhere except in a world before man. So the Bible history is not aiming to describe the world before man. It aims at describing our world. But once we understand that the physical evidence of the earth is that the earth is old is very strong, it turns out to be perfectly compatible, I think, with the Bible. It is compatible, as I pointed out, with its language about creation and its assumption about events that happened before the world of man. And so I hope that this understanding is important to you as it is to me, as part of the answer we can give about the Bible's veracity, and thus it is an important answer for the reason for the hope that is in us.